Welcome to the Cottages, episode 500.5. What did we call it? DNA feedbacking in blind.
Thought it was charging in blind. Whatever.
Yes, because this is a feedback episode, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Roll with things.
I'm smart.
Improvs. Yes,
arc.
I am.
There was no arc. It was just us discussing our expectations.
Feedback. Cottages is your critically nostalgic analytical tour through Digimon anime. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I have the crest of forcing Ashley to do things until she's like, what are we doing? What is this? What is this new thing that I've introduced?
Yeah. And I'm Ashley, and I have the crest of, I don't know, laziness.
Let's dive into the feedback. Okay, so first off, we have the weekly-ish question. Last season, this was the fortnightly-ish question. We're trying to release episodes weekly, and so this is it's still ish, but it's weekly-ish. So the question for 500 was, what aspect of Data Squad are you most excited for? And I guess before we actually dive into this, we should mention that we're streaming live on YouTube now. We're not going to be interacting with the chat too much because we have a lot to get through. We're going to keep everything into 30 minutes, but we're going to keep the chat open, and we're going to, after this, roll over into our weekly Lazy Cyber Suit stream, and then we'll interact with all. We'll go through all the messages there and answer questions and stuff, continue from there. Anyway, the weekly question, what aspect of Data Squad are you most excited for? And first off, we have a voicemail from our BFF, Davis. We're really excited to get these again.
Oh, yes.
It's been a while. Okay, here we go.
Whoa, hey everyone, it's your old pal Davis again, and I'm super hyped for Digimon Data Squad. And I'm also here to answer this week's question. What aspect of Data Squad are you most excited for? Well, I think that one is pretty easy. It's gotta be those characters. I like that one guy who punches Digimon, although I don't condone that in any way possible. And I love my favorite character of all time in any media. It's Yoshi! Come on, everyone loves Yoshi. Actually, I have a surprise for you all. I have Yoshi as a guest here right now. How's it going, Yoshi?
Yoshi!
Oh no!
Yoshi!
It's running all over the place. Ah, watch out for the tongue. It ate all my food, my fruit bowl. Hey, Yoshi, don't do that flutter jump. Hey, get off the ottoman. Get off that ottoman. Don't get... No, stop. Do not throw your eggs at me. No. Ah! Aw, scrambled Yoshi egg all over my face. What is a boy to do? Yoshi, get back here. Don't send that email. I haven't edited my voice track yet. Don't send it. Yoshi, no, no, no.
That was amazing.
It was fantastic.
Also, Yoshi jokes are not going to get old throughout the season, are they? No, they're just going to make them forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, it's weird because we've recorded up to episode... Will we record 503? Yeah, we recorded 503.
Yes, we recorded 503.
Which is all the way up through episode 18. And by that point, in our personal, without releasing it to the world yet, we've barely made any Yoshi jokes. So we just started making Yoshi jokes.
That's true. We only made, one.
Right. Starting an episode, whenever she has an episode, 15 or whatever.
But Davis is correcting us starting right now.
But that was fantastic. That was really good audio editing and everything. That was great.
So I'll throw in them Yoshi eggs. Because eggs are relevant.
Yeah. Okay. And I should have had this preloaded. And sorry that may have come in quiet in the live stream. I was like, this is pretty quiet. I can never tell when we were listening back to the audio how it sounds everyone else, but I think that was quiet for everyone else. So I tweaked it up higher. Hopefully that doesn't blow out everything
else. Turned it up.
Yes, I turned it up to 11. So anyway, we also got some answers from our community on social media and on Tumblr. So again, the question is, what aspect of Data Squad are you most excited for? And Go Kid Blue said, Kenan being raised in the digital world. Arctic Gato said, Bancho Leomon, full stop. You don't know who Bancho Leomon is.
I know Cyber Sleuth. Yeah.
Pretty cool. I guess one aspect that you might not... I mean, I guess it'll be clear when we get there. But Bancho in Japanese means not a gang leader. Let me look at gshow.org. Because it's related to Marxist themes. It's a leader of a group of juvenile delinquents. And there's a whole line of Bancho Digimon, too.
Of course there is.
They're pretty cool. Anyway, and Et Noika, also on Tumblr, said, that sick Digillusion song, it starts out kind of meh and turns into a full-blown orchestral chorus by season's end. I'm excited for that, because that's something that we, in our recordings, we've gone up to 503, and we've gotten to the ultimate stages of Digillusions, and... I definitely noticed, it got a lot better. It didn't get a lot better.
So when it gets to Mega, it's just oh, yeah.
I mean, but I don't know how it goes in Japanese, but at least in for the first two Digivolutions in the original Japanese, they just play Believer for both the champion, both the adult and the perfect evolutions. And I was like, oh, this doesn't have much impact. We don't change it. Whereas in Deus Squad Day, they change it and make it more hype for the ultimate evolutions. Anyway.
Hype.
On Facebook, Luis said, Marcus slash Masaru punching everything. Andrew, I guess we should say the last initial. Andrew L. said, Rise Greymon.
I never told Facebook. Greymon is cool.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we've already gotten there. You know, recordings. And yeah, he's pretty cool. On Twitter, Cisa Takato said, Harari is the best, and I will fight the hosts on this. I don't think I'll have to fight very hard. I don't know if you've heard. I mean, it's what we use as the intro thing.
So you just heard. Didn't you give you, like, we're so obsessed with it right before we went to college, and you put it on a CD for me, and I was like, this is good. I enjoy this.
It's good. I still really love it. It's still, like, I'm pretty sure it's my favorite Digimon opening of all the openings. I did realize, however, that does not work so well for the podcast. For like inserting it, because most of the songs I love, and I'm like, oh, you just put it in here, and people will love it too. And I realized, like, Harari, I don't think works great in that context. Like, so for at least 500, I plan to use it for the rest of the season. I have it as the intro and outro music, but my inclination is always like play more of it. But then I realized the outro, like the last 30 seconds of the song, are just like the same riff over and over. It's just like do 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 do. Like, okay, you are gonna get sick of this.
They are already sick of this. I'm already sick of you say I'm gonna punch you.
Costas at Costas Zomgus trolled us and said Crosswords coverage starting.
Oh boy. Don't expect that anytime soon. Have you our track record? No good.
Yeah. Meishin Jamon, who is at Engineersmon from Lost in Translation, who is May from Lost in Translation. That's why it's May Shinjima. Anyway.
I got it.
said Yoshino being better than Izumi, or Yoshino being Zoe. Masaru punching everything.
Ooh, we're going to have to...
On a similar note, there was another one that was pretty similar. I'm not sure they meant it. Because they didn't directly apply to May, but Curly Brace, at Curly underscore Brace, said Masaru punching every bad guy. Also Yoshino hopefully being better than Izumi.
Oh, yeah, that's more my sentiment right now. I think we had this discussion and...
Yeah. No, I mean, I think, like, I mean, spoiling stuff we'll get to. Like, I think she's definitely better than Zoe, but the bar is very low. Not that much better. Cat is sitting on Ashley and going after the headphones. Anyway, Sam Krieger, at Sam underscore Krieger, who is on the Mindcast, compared to Pokemon Digimon, said, listening to Ashley slowly get A, hyped about each arc and their awesome characters, or B, getting frustrated by the characters and tearing them down. Either will be entertaining.
I think actually A is like slowly happening currently through 3 episodes. Definitely the first episode, I'm like, no, this sucks.
So 18 episodes of the show.
Yeah,
3 episodes. Podcast episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cesar Takato also, and these replies are kind of out of order, I think, because of Twitter's threading, but Cesar Takato also said, the host starts on Harari.
Harari is good. What do you want from me?
Harari's my favorite. Jackal, who is at Jackals 31, and used to be always my favorite, but is not Yoshi's my favorite for this season.
Yeah, can't be Yoshi's my favorite.
Said, remembering what actually happened in this season of Digimon, sweaty face.
Marcus punches a lot of things.
Yeah, that's all you need to know. Steve, parentheses, homoerotic, who was at the homoerotic, said, the complex issues between the Digimon and the quote-unquote humans.
Yes.
The infamous Tokujo, who was at Tokujo, said, hot moms. So yes. I was confused with this because plural?
Hot moms, that's true. Who's the other hot mom?
The other hot moms? I mean, we saw Thomas's dead mom.
Oh, goodness. That can't be.
Anyway, I clicked through. Oops, bad Twitter. Bad.
Jeff messed it up. Bad Twitter. Bad. Don't blame Twitter for your mistakes, Jeffrey.
So the last one was from Anime Guy Kurosaki 1, who is at Anime Guy 01, said Agumon being the hungriest child ever.
It's
true. Yep, he is.
Look,
it's weird.
Marcus just looks so good. He just looks so tasty. Sometimes he looks like...
The out of context screenshot was pretty good. It's weird looking back on that and realizing how much of that, like, Agumon is just, like, all about hunger and eating things like, it does seem very influenced from this.
I guess.
I kind of wonder, like, I don't really assume it was intentional, but it's weird to look back on. I
feel like Agumon in Adventure was the hungriest of the adventures.
He was, but there was never, like, that many jokes about it, from what I recall. How are we doing on time? 15. Okay, we have. It's hard. I forgot to record the other methods. I don't really have a good timer here. Oh, I should be using. Okay. Let me.
You have a fancy watch, and this is all you can do.
Oh, no. It doesn't have 15 minutes. It has 10, 15, 30 minutes. It's a custom one. Yes, takes time. Now I have it for 5 hours. Oh, no. Oh, God. 5 hour feedback episode. Okay.
God, no. Especially not about the nothingness that is this episode.
Okay, I had it going. I just put it on for 19 seconds. That's good. See, this is
I didn't know that this would be so complicated for you.
Okay, now on to feedback comments from the episode. We don't have many for this because it was just our expectation that doesn't really spark much discussion, I guess.
I don't even know anything about it. Well, now I do. Now I know 18 episodes worth of things. Your future, actually. Yeah.
We've time traveled into the past. So this is one comment I wanted to read. Was from Kiwara on our site, pottages.com/500. And they're excited for us to be starting their favorite season. And they're saying that Marcus reminds a lot of Ty from the early parts of Adventure before he really became the leader. I guess that's kind of true. I think Marcus has much more personality than any of the characters in Adventure. Because like they're all just more like calm and like none of them could like... I mean, just by the fact of having...
Only I would love to see Ty punch a Digimon. That's how Try should end. Ty comes back from the supposed dead and punches all the Digimon.
Yeah. Ty is totally dead. Anyway.
I said supposed dead.
Yeah, I'm just saying that some people... I don't know. I don't think anyone actually thinks that. But anyway, moving on. So more comments from Kiwara. I know it's not the anime, but if you guys can, be sure to look at Digimon World Data Squad. It's an interesting side story with these characters and involves the 7 demon lords as main bosses, though they butchered poor Daemon and dubbed him Creepymon. Even back then, I thought that was the dumbest name ever. Yeah, I didn't really realize that. Like, I knew there was some confusion about like Daemon also being Creepymon in some
dub property. Episode?
Yeah, and I didn't realize that like, okay, he's Daemon in the anime and Creepymon in this one game. And yeah, that seems like such a silly thing.
Was this game released in the Americas?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Like the dub or the English localization called him Creepymon.
Interesting.
This is Andrew actually mentioned it, I think, in 500 because he said that the premiere of these characters, the Data Squad characters, was in this game.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, I also didn't realize that, like, that the game, I've probably seen it in lists and stuff, and I just assumed it was like, based on the world of Data Squad. I didn't realize it was like actually characters and a side story and everything with the same characters. So that intrigues me, but I also don't know how to...
It's for Game Boy?
It's for a game system.
Oh, wait, what?
No, I think it's for PS2.
Oh.
Because I remember looking at it, I was like, how do I even play PS2 games?
We have a PS2.
Yeah, then I have to load up the PS2.
Oh my goodness. Okay, definitely for PS2. Interesting.
Yeah, I guess it's possible you can find this somewhere. And play it.
Probably find it on eBay.
I guess I was interested. I was like, oh, maybe we could stream this. I'm like, oh, there's no way to stream it. We do have the capture card, but that works with the PS3. I don't think it works with the PS2. Anyway, that's complicated. We don't have the tools for that. Anyway, more from Keywords comments. I'm excited to hear Quentin Flynn as Marcus, especially when he gets to that line about halfway through where he points to his head and says, I've got it memorized. Don't know if Jeff Nimoy did it intentionally as a nod to Axel, but I like to think it was. So I actually have information about this.
Yeah,
because I recently listened to an interview. Jeff Nimoy was a guest on the Nerd On podcast, which is a new podcast from a bunch of people in LA, which I'm pretty sure is where Jeff Nimoy lives and friends with these people. And so he was on their podcast and lots of talk about Digimon. It's really informative. It's really...
Oh, you retweeted that stuff.
Yeah, I retweeted it. I don't know if people actually want to listen to it. It was definitely an interesting interview because the people on the podcast are fans of Digimon, but they're not like... They seem like they're like, you know, people connected to the LA scene... on the margin of the LA scene, first and foremost, and secondarily, some of them were Digimon fans. Whereas, like, when people like us interviewed Jeff Nimoy, we were, like, nervous fanboys on the internet. We're like, oh, my God, Jeff Nimoy-senpai, notice me.
Oh, boy.
Whereas, okay. I mean, that's how I feel looking back at something. Like, oh, we were so awkward. I'm cringe even listening to this. But anyway, these people were much more comfortable around him, and there was much more of, like, a friendly chat where we happened to reveal a bunch of stuff. And one of the things he mentioned was that he was, like, first of all, he cast Quentin Flynn as Marcus because he thought of him as a fiery redhead type based on, like, Axel and...
Still, doesn't have red hair, and I'm just like, what?
It is, yeah, apparently. I was like, oh, that means Marcus. So I'm colorblind, by the way, if people don't know. And so I was like, and I also, I'm colorblind and redheaded, so I really identify.
So he,
I identify people who have red hair, but I don't know who they are usually.
Yep. It's the greatest thing.
So when I found out that Marcus was redheaded, I was like, yes, Ashley has red hair. And Ashley's like, no, he doesn't.
No, he definitely does not.
So it's kind of funny that Jeff Newman was specifically like, that's why I cast him. Also, wasn't actually. I wonder if Jeff Newman is blind. Not blind. I wonder if he's colorblind. I wonder if he's colorblind too. Then we both be colorblind Jeffs.
Oh.
Maybe it's hereditary with the name Jeff.
Oh yeah.
But the other bit of information he did specifically say that like he wanted to write because there was a like based on the dubbing or not like based on the way the episode was in Japanese, he saw the Marcus pointing at his forehead and was like, okay, I can make this an Axel kind of memorized joke. So yeah, it's like officially confirmed by Jeff Nimoy. I mean, it's been 10 plus years. So who, I guess this when aired,
did it air?
I think it aired in the US in 2007.
Okay. So I guess, yeah, 10 years then.
So I mean, memory would be a little bit fuzzy, but I think it's fair to trust that. Anyway, the last comment, or second last thing from Kiwara was, keep up the awesome work and tell Asher to stay safe while he's in Israel. And I found this particularly interesting because we're going to be in Israel next week.
We're all going to die.
I'm a little bit worried about safety in Israel. But
I was not worried in Tel Aviv. If we go to Jerusalem, like, okay, wait, time out.
They would probably end up going to Jerusalem. Apparently it's like if Ash commutes there for a class once a week and stuff, like, it can't be hard to get back and forth, so I guess we'll do it once or twice to see some important things. And oh, I don't know if we're actually going to do it, so I may as well mention it here as a thing, because I doubt it's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be worth our actually going out of the way to do it, but there's a place in...
What?
There's a place in, it's near Tel Aviv, that is actually...
Is it related to Digimon?
Yes, it's actually the basis of the name Megidramon.
Oh, Jesus. How do you even find these things?
Okay, I found this when I was talking to my mom, and she was like, you should go to this place called Megiddo. And I was like, Megiddo? Megidramon? And then I looked it up, and it's like, yes, Megidramon is based on this, like...
What?
So it's called, I think, Tel Megiddo. There's Tel Megiddo National Park, my place we go to and take pictures. And then, like, this beautiful park is the inspiration for Megiddo.
In what way? Like,
it was the first thing she mentioned is, like, something to do near Tel Aviv.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like that close.
Doesn't seem like it's that close.
But, I mean, Israel is, like, the size of your thumb, so.
Oh, cool, yeah.
This might not actually be that far.
I mean, maybe. If there's a bus that will take me there, I'll go with you. I'm just like, I don't understand how life does this.
Yeah, I don't want to go just because it's a place where named after Digimon.
If it's a cool place, I'll go.
Kiwara also left comments about their fantasy draft pick. And I thought these comments were interesting because they chose Agumon and Marcus, right?
I don't know.
Agumon... Oh, Thomas and Agumon. And they said, I want to see how Thomas would deal with having to partner with Agumon. This Agumon is definitely more of his own mon and doesn't always listen, even to Marcus. And it'd be funny to see Thomas trying to crack down on him. And I think that's...
He'd have that Agumon saying, sir, yes, sir, in no time.
I don't think he... Because, like, yeah, we all we see is, like, Thomas's cracking down attitude on a Digimon who is so in line with that. I really do want to see what would happen if it... Like, they would... It would probably be like what happens with Thomas and Marcus not getting along until eventually, like, oh, you showed some concern. Until
they're like, therefore, we're bros.
Yeah.
Bros forever.
Bros before Digi. Oh, I'm just gonna roll just, on and move don't. Past that to questions. So just people know, you can send us questions to answer in this question segment at any point. We'll add them to the queue, the bucket of questions. Normally we have lots of comments. We don't have time to get through these, but now we have, since this is a comment light episode, we can get through these. And we have a queue going back as far as 2016. Again, at the end, when we started doing Q&A and got a bunch of really difficult questions that were like, this will take a lot of time to think of answers to these because they're very thought-provoking questions. But anyway, send them to us at any point and we'll add them to the queue. First one we're going to read is from Car is my favorite / Jackals31 at Jackals31 on Twitter. How do you think Tri will end?
Ty will not be dead. Everything will be fine.
I don't think saying, oh, it'll end with Ty not being dead. I don't think that's much
the
of a...
The 0-2 kids will come back. I'm still, like, banking on some sort of memory dumbness to come into play.
Really? At this point, I don't know, like, if that's necessary to... I think the biggest question for me at this point is, like, will it lead into the epilogue? Or will the epilogue not be touched at all? Because, I mean, that's, like, the... like
that's what everybody's concerned about.
No, I don't think people are concerned. It's on my mind, just because I'm like, how will the final minutes... like, will they lead into that? Or will lead into... will just be, like, some kind of, like... yeah, I'm really curious, like, what the final beat will be. Will it be... because, like, that final beat might... dictate how we feel about a lot of aspects of the movie, like what note it leaves us on.
We can tell them right now. I'm sure they haven't actually made it yet. So yeah, we can just keep saying.
And we had the perfect answer. We know exactly how this movie series should end.
Yep.
No, yeah, I really don't even have ideas for how, like, what will be in store, unless they just go with the epilogue. But I feel like they must know how many people dislike the epilogue. And if they were to use the epilogue, they have to do it in a way that made people happy in some way. And I don't know. On some level, I feel like
it's not going to address the epilogue at all. Like, it won't confirm or deny it. It'll just stay in whatever present state it's in and not show the future.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like there's so much... I don't know. I just feel like with how much we haven't seen the Zero Two Kids, it would be a really, I think, emotionally satisfying note to end it on, to, like, show the epilogue from a different perspective or something. And have the Zero Two Kids there and everything, and, like, show Mako integrated into that. Like, maybe quote-unquote retcon it in just the sense that when they all meet up, Mako's there too.
No, Mako has to disappear.
Yeah, Mako has to die.
She does.
Yeah, like, Mako must die.
Mako must die.
Is the real name of the movie.
Yeah.
Bokura no... it'll actually start Bokura no Mirai and this cross out Mako must die.
Okay.
Yeah, I really don't know this one. Maybe we'll, like, once we start getting PVs and stuff, we'll have a better...
No, they're always lies.
They are always lies.
They can't do the typical lie, though, because normally it's, like, it's really just teasing the movie after that.
It's not like they're normally lies, though. It's more like they're being more truthful than we expect trailers to be. You know what I mean? It's like they show us a scene... and then we're like, okay, that scene must mean all these other things because of all these other cues we get from watching trailers or other media. And instead it's like, no, it was just that scene, though. I don't know why you thought it would be. I don't know why you thought. I don't know why we had expectations. Like, what? Huh? Is there a larger context of things we're playing into? No. Anyway, next question was from CC Takato on Twitter and asking, with Atmon being dubbed in French and Cantonese now, I didn't know about Cantonese, but anyway, how long do you think it will be till we get a US release, if at all? I started trailing down on this because I'm like, this is just depressing. Like, I don't think either of us knows or has any.
I don't know what the Disney gods want to do in life.
I don't think there's any, like, long binding contract that Disney tied up with.
What else has survived with, like, Nickelodeon?
I mean, like, what other, like,
yeah,
dubbing people could dub it? Yeah, I guess it could be. I mean,
for TV release. Anyway.
Nickelodeon did Fusion. But then it moved to Disney. I don't know that history. Like, Fusion, I think, was actually airing on TV while we were doing, like, the Pottage's episodes about adventure. We were just like,
I'm just saying,
care.
I can only think of three main, like, places where it could be aired on TV, and it's Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network, and Disney. So, like,
yeah,
I don't know what any of those people want out of life.
It seems like an obvious thing that to us because it has so much cachet in our generation. But if you're targeting a thing to a new generation of kids who don't have any connection to Digimon, I think it is a tougher sell. And I think the thing that's really held it up from being picked up for simulcast, streaming subtitled, was that people on the Japanese side had an expectation that it should be treated with the cultural cachet that original Digimon was treated with. That, like, just having it simulcasted first with subtitles for an older audience is not what they want for it. They want it to be a big thing like Digimon was
right in
the West. And yeah.
I just don't expect that to happen.
Right. We don't expect it to happen based on what we understand of the English market. And it seems like maybe might never for a while because of a mismatch in expectations. Who knows if that's the real reason? I mean, yeah, I suspect it was like they were like asking too much for Crunchyroll to bid to get it. But the longer it's been since then, the more... I think they would lower their price and make it an option. And maybe that's happening with Data Squad, because it did take a while for Data Squad to get picked up.
I guess we can wait forever.
Yeah, I do hope it gets picked up. I do also worry, like, the more I don't know, the hype from Atmon fans might mislead people into thinking that it is different than what it actually is. Because by and large, it is an episodic comedy gag series with some overarching plot towards the end. And that overarching plot is pretty well done, is pretty hype, pretty well executed, has some surprising, like, more complex, not more, but, like, moments that, like, are more self-aware than others, like, where it's, like, a plot that you'd be like, well, no one would actually, oh, there's actually a reason for that little thing. But it's also one of those things that's like, okay, it wasn't that mind-blowing. It was kind of like, you kind of just wrote the same plot you would always write, but then gave like the tiniest explanation for why that would be a thing that would happen. Anyway, on some level it is more self-aware, more aware of its own things than other Digimon seasons, but it's also by and large a comedy gag series. And I see some people talk about it like, and it keeps it up very well through the end. Like, I mean, I guess we haven't gotten off through Savers, the Day's Glad to see this, but like, you know, starts off episodic and then goes into this larger plot. And most season Digimon do that. Atmon is very much like, keeps up the episodic gag episodes through to the end, like up into even I guess like there is story arching like plot in the last 10 episodes, but it also involves them going to a festival and having antics while they chase down Digimon, who is a plot important Digimon for the overarching part, but it's still like quote unquote filler. Like so much of Atmon is what people write off as being filler. And it's like, that is just what the season is. I don't even write it off as filler when it's like, that's what it's about. Anyway, so I just worried like people who are really enjoy Atmon sell it as being this amazing Digimon season that everyone will love. And it's like, no, it's really, if you're not into the gag stuff, it's not for you. I think it's good. Anyway, Ha_Enochi on Twitter said, would you do / have you done a podcast on Team Four Stars or Brigimon? So I mean, a quick answer, we haven't yet. It's something that we have, it's not out of the question. So this specifically is asking if the Team Four Star Brigimon, so there's only one abridged Digimon series that I've actually heard a decent amount of consistent positive praise for, which is the tri-abridged things. And I hear those are really good. And I think I like watched the first 5 minutes of the first one and was like, this isn't for me. But then I've heard so many good things about them since then that I do want to go back and watch them all. But the problem is that the other ones, like there is like a Brigimon, there were a couple different ones that I thought like got started, did like one episode and then stopped. Maybe did like one episode, maybe like a second episode. And I didn't realize that one of them was done by Team Four Star. I mean, Team Four Star is pretty big. They, their whole history, they like, apparently they were most known for, their name is based on a Dragon Ball Abridge or something. And like, I didn't realize, you realize that was a thing. But I mean, they like took the, I think they basically took the legacy of Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged and made it a more like, because I'm pretty sure Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged was like basically just Little Kuribo doing most of the voices and like occasionally getting guests on to do some voices, but like mainly like a one person effort. I think Team Four Star kind of took that legacy and like made it into an actual sustainable business with like a team. And like now they've started doing like official dubs of things and,
okay.
I mean, I think official dubs are things that want a more comedic atmosphere and everything. Anyway, I'm more interested to check out a Brigimon knowing that it's Team Four Star, but I still thought it was only like maybe one-off episode or whatever. And I don't think that would be a good podcast like discussing. I also don't know like if there's that much potential in a podcast just like recapping jokes from a thing. Like, yeah. I mean, what I've heard about Tri-Abridged, which both intrigues me and turns you off a little bit, is the creator of it on Twitter talking about how like, and other people commenting on it saying that it improves on tries in certain ways.
And that's not that hard.
It's not that hard. Yeah, but I'm intrigued by that to see what kind of like oh, it adds more characterization and things make more sense and the characters' motivations fit more and everything. I'm intrigued by that, but I'm also kind of turned off by like, it's almost hubris to be like, I took this media property and I made it better. Like, on the one hand, yeah, it's not that hard to try. It's so sloppy, I mean, in so many ways.
Is it them saying it or yeah, like people?
You know, the creators said it. And I'm like, that seemed a little bit like,
well, like
I'm a little bit turned off. But
sure. I mean, I guess if other people agree, it's like, okay.
No, they do. So it's not totally unfounded. But just see, especially mean, when you're like.
I
don't
have to agree with the arrogance of a creator to like the things that they create. Like,
no, yeah, no, that certainly isn't arrogance. It makes sense. It's more when it's like when they're creating something that isn't specifically building off of something else and is a derivative media property to be like, I mean, but it also, like, it very well might fit for this. So that's all just, like, I watched for 10 minutes, thought it was okay, and didn't think it humors me. But I've heard so many good things, so I do want to go back and check it out. But I just don't know how much of the potential there is for a podcast about it if it's just going to be recapping jokes. That's the main. But since it might improve on story and everything, that makes one makes me intrigued. But I'm at this point mostly intrigued. I'm going to try. Send us feedback if you know of good abridges or whatever. I also just, like, haven't really heard much positive praise for any abridged series outside of Yu-Gi-Oh! Anyway, we do want to get to one long-standing question from September 2016 because it required some thought, and I actually came up with an answer. Actually, did you?
I told you my answer. Why didn't you believe me?
Okay. Anyway, so this question was from Stevie Padamon on Twitter in September 2016, and it was, what's your favorite video game soundtrack? Ashley, what is your answer?
No, why don't you go first?
Okay, my answer is Chrono Cross, because I think Chrono Cross soundtrack is really great and is what I think it makes it stand out above lots of other soundtracks that I love. I have so many honorable mentions. Is that it really puts you into the atmosphere of these places. I haven't played Chrono Cross since eighth grade, but I can, like, immediately be transported to these places. It's so atmospheric. It's so, and the game itself is so atmospheric. It's so about the places and the feeling of seclusion and the mindset that each of these islands gives you. And, like, the songs can immediately bring me back to those places, even though it's been so long since I played it or even seen images of them. And it calls it immediately to mind. And it was just so fantastic. So many honorable mentions of, like, just, like, great songs to listen to on their own. And I don't think Chrono Cross's songs were that great to listen to on their own, but for the atmosphere, number one. So many honorable mentions, like the Unfinished Swan. It's an amazing soundtrack to listen to on its own as well. Really hype music, and it's, like, a really short game, totally worth playing. Thomas Alone, great soundtrack. Final Fantasy 10, 12. What are you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say 10-2. Final Fantasy 10-2.
Are you picking it just because of the one song?
No, there are other good songs in there.
Hey, what's the one song for people who don't know what you're talking about?
Eternity Memory of Light Waves.
Which no one's heard of.
Best song. That's not true. I was like, I'm trying to learn the song from Final Fantasy 10-2 to one of my coworkers who's playing piano. And he's like, yeah, I loved this song. And he posted the same song to me, being like, I love this song.
And people are not obsessed with this one song. It's the song that plays during the credit, the title sequence, like the choosing the menu, choosing start or continue, whatever.
It's so good. It's beautiful. You shut the hell up.
Okay, so send your comments about what your favorite Digimon, or what your favorite game soundtrack is, not Digimon, favorite soundtrack, and whatever else you said wrong.
You know what your favorite Digimon is, too.
Okay. Correct us and all these things. Send it to Pattages. Go to pattages.com/500.5 and leave your comments there. But you can also send your thoughts to Pattages on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook, or to our email address, pattages@gmail.com.
Special thanks to Extranimon for our new Season 5 Agumon artwork. And a quick shout-out to our Champion, Ultimate, and Mega supporters on Patreon. This includes Diab Jomon, Dizzy Dizumi, Joe Kido, Kailunamon, Sam Kuwagamon, Andy Lusamon, David Graumon, and Marcus.
If you want to follow us, where can they find you, Ashley?
At AshMcD00 on Twitter.
And
I've started a shoujo manga podcast. It is at ShoujoIntel on Twitter and Facebook.
And I am definitely Jeff on Twitter, and I have started a Shonen manga podcast called Shonen and Hell.
What? Please do.
And if you're listening to this live on YouTube, then stay tuned because we're about to roll over into a weekly Cyber Sleuth stream. And for everyone else, we generally record these episodes live on Sunday afternoons. This is really basically a test, though, because next week we're going to be away in Israel. So we won't be for...
We'll be in Megiddo or whatever.
Tell Megiddo, maybe. Yeah. We'll be inside Megiddron. Just think of it.
We'll just be...
Megiddron ate us.
Cool.
But maybe the week after that? Maybe, because we'll just have gotten back. Oh, no. Probably not. Probably not the week after that. Anyway, it'll be a thing. We'll get back on the schedule.
I'll try to do Cyber Sleuth that.
It depends. Sunday it depends.
After, what?
It depends what's going on. Because my sister might be staying with us. Anyway, it's all a thing. hopefully for the actual podcast itself, the Monday releasing podcast, we'll have to take 1 week off for Israel, and I hope to fill it up with some special episode. But the feedback episodes might not be live, or I might not have a feedback episode or something, because, yeah, things are happening here. Anyway, And so stay tuned for CyberStream after this, CyberSleuth stream after this, and stay tuned tomorrow for our first main Data Squad episode, covering episodes 1 through 5, aka Digimon Analog Sleuth. Bye.
Bye.
And remember, never stop Digimon.